on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. 6 days a week, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. As always, too much stuff, too little time. Krista Joseph of Lucha Underground is going to be on the show here today in about 40 minutes. We're going to be talking Lucha Underground, WWE, anything that is on his mind. It's going to be a very fun show. I've been wanting to get Krista Joseph on for a while, and so he makes his appearance on the program today. And don't forget, by the way, tomorrow, Jim Ross is going to be on the program as well, so we got some big guests coming up this week. Also, a lot of news today. Raw from Monday. When I did the show yesterday, I hadn't watched Raw yet. Now I have. Last night on the Brian and Vinny show, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, and thank goodness, a profanity-laced tirade, the rant to end all rants I had last night. I feel better today. But I have a little bit more to say. I'm going to control myself. It is more a reaction to the reaction that I got regarding that promo last night, and some notes about Raw on Monday, the ratings for the show, and more. That's coming up on the program today, plus some thoughts on the Intercontinental title program that is currently ongoing right now. We've also got an update on what's going on with WWE, the Bill DeMott story that we talked about yesterday. We have an update. WWE has issued a statement to PW Insider. We'll tell you about that, and also talk about more to come in that story. Also, guess what's hot right now? UFC. Ronda Rousey's show looking to have done way better than people expected. The prelims, the third biggest prelims of all time. Lots of pay-per-view buys. We can talk about that on the program as well. Your calls in the third segment here on the show and more. Wrestling Observer Live kicking off in just a moment on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. As noted in the opening segment, for those of you that are subscribers, last night on the Brian and Vinny show, I cut quite a promo. Profanity-laced tirade directed at WWE Raw, particularly the main event segment, which I thought was one of the stupidest segments I've seen ever. And the good news, at least to me, is as I look through Twitter here, Adam says that Rant alone was worth all my money. Nathan says the latest Brian and Vinny show is worth the $10.99 all by itself. This person here is saying, I'm sorry, it's way more fun to listen to you when you're angry and full of fury. So a lot of people are in my camp, but I went on the board today and there were a lot of people that were very, they could not listen to the show, they said. I could not finish the show. Brian was so negative about Raw. They were so angry at what I had said about the show. And I just want to mention something now that we've got a little bit more information about Raw here, based on the rant and the tirade that I did. First off, I would like to say that the positive to me is people either loved that rant or they hated that rant. You know what that means, Mike?
They were passionate and they you're pulling some enthusiasm out of them to be involved.
It means they cared more about me than Roman Reigns. Because yep. Nobody cares about Roman Reigns. John Cena, as much as people are sick of John Cena, if you go to the shows and you hear everybody booing John Cena, let me tell you something about those boos. When people boo John Cena, there's another part of the building that starts chanting, "Let's go, Cena." It is a dueling chant. And you want to know what that means? It means that when you go to the building, John Cena is either loved or he is hated. The people care about John Cena. They don't necessarily all like him. Many of them don't like him, but they care. That's why John Cena sells out these shows. That's why when you add John Cena to a show, it sells more tickets. That's when John Cena is on a show and you raise ticket prices, people still buy him. That's why John Cena sells more merchandise than everybody. Yes, I'm sure you can find a month here and there where CM Punk outsold John Cena. I'm sure that here or there you can find a month where somebody did really well. But you know who is the consistent number one merchandise seller for the last decade? John Cena. The point of all this is people care. Roman Reigns comes out. And there are some people that boo him, but largely it is an audience full of people who don't care. This guy is main eventing WrestleMania. This guy is main eventing WrestleMania and people don't care. So to make a long story short, if you want this guy to get over between now and WrestleMania, you got a lot of work to do. This guy has got to go out there and essentially he's got to be Ronda Rousey. Unbeatable. He goes out there and he kills everybody. He never shows weakness. He wins all the time. And you build up that at WrestleMania, this unbeatable monster is facing the other unbeatable monster. And one of the monsters is going to be beaten. What did they do on Raw? They pinned him. They pinned him with a cradle in the middle of the ring. Randy Orton, by the way, is supposed to be a babyface, but I'm going to get on this rant. Randy Orton tripped him. He didn't even hold his foot down. He just tripped him, and the guy got pinned. And then after the match, after he was pinned, he runs wild on everybody. He gets a decent reaction, but it's not like the roof was blown off the place. And the announcers are instructed to talk about, oh my God, look at the role this guy is on. How will Brock Lesnar beat this man? Well, maybe he'll cradle him. He's a wrestler.
So which would not be the first time that Roman Reigns has been beaten in this lead up to WrestleMania.
Exactly. This guy was never pinned in a singles match in WWE, ever. And they put him in the main event of WrestleMania. He has now been pinned twice this year. And every time I watch the show, he's less and less over. The point of all of this is, I gave this big speech about this last night. And I had people telling me that I'm too negative. Oh, Brian, the show is great. Oh, I can't believe you didn't like the show. Guess what? I got some Raw numbers here for you from Monday night. The first hour of Raw, 3.5 million viewers. The second hour hit 4. Thank God. Third hour dropped down again, 3.8 million. The show did 3.8 million viewers last night. That is the second lowest rating for Raw since football season ended. We're 3 weeks away from WrestleMania, and they got the second lowest rating of 2015 for this show. The guy's not over, and I don't want to hear people telling me that I'm too negative. It's very clearly not working. It's not working when you see the fans' reaction to Roman Reigns. It's not working when you see the Raw ratings for the show. It's not working. So if you didn't like my speech, I don't want to hear it. In this case, I firmly believe I'm right.
There's nothing that you said that you can really disagree with other than standards have gotten so low.
Oh my God, the standards.
Because people believe that was a great show. It wasn't a great show. Jon Stewart was great. I thought in another time, in another city, in another place, at another time, what Stephanie said to John Cena was great. Like if they had other stars and she was just taking it out on him, that was actually great. I didn't even think the beginning was all that bad because at least we got some movement on Seth Rollins as a comfortable heel that people are starting to latch onto a little bit more. But that was it. As far as the wrestling goes, that was a joke. As far as a wrestling show, it was a complete and utter joke. The Intercontinental title, which we all hoped they would have some semblance of respect for, I know people are trying to put a positive spin on that, but you had 15 minutes worth of matches that meant nothing. That whole show was so angle-driven and gave you nothing. And to me, the comedy that they're doing for the IC title, I like all of those guys who were in that match. I don't really want to see that match. In fact, I hope the guy, you know, whoever wins the belt is the loser of the thing.
May I interrupt just very quickly since you're talking about that?
Yeah.
So one other thing that some people brought up last night, because I also ranted about the Intercontinental title, and I had some people on the board telling me, but Brian, the Intercontinental title is so much more valuable today because all of these men want it. That's what they claim.
No, that's a hope. That's hope.
But here's the point. Yes, a bunch of people want a belt, and guess what? They're all losers because every single one of them loses all the time on this show. The champion, I don't even remember the last time the champion has won. I'm going to give an analogy that may not be the best, but let's think about this. What is the division in UFC that people care the least about? 125? 125 pound men?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, flyweight.
Let's imagine that on Spike TV or FS1 or whatever, they decided to do an Ultimate Fighter. and they were going to let's say that Demetrius Johnson got hurt and they had to take the title off him. And they were going to do an Ultimate Fighter series for the 125-pound title, the belt that people care the least about in that whole promotion. And what they were going to do on this Ultimate Fighter series is they were going to do a tournament. But the way that it worked was everybody who lost advanced. And they were going to have a tournament where all of the losers advanced, and the only way you could advance was to continue losing. And so the man who lost the most fights ended up the 125-pound champion. That is what we're talking about with this Intercontinental title right here. Would anybody watch that show? Would that belt mean anything because everybody was in the tournament and was trying to get the belt? Of course not, because they're all losing to advance, which is exactly what they're doing. It's a bunch of losers losing on TV every week to try to win a shot at a title who the champion can never win when he holds the belt. This is not working.
No, what's great is a lot of people will bitch and moan about what you're saying, but at least you have the passion for it to even go off on this rant and point things out. I got to be honest, there will be times with me that it just turns to apathy because what else can I do? I look at the IC title thing and I shrug. There's all of the what people want of that belt is based on hope that these six guys that they like are in it. And from this point, maybe from WrestleMania forward, we'll treat it seriously. Give Divas a chance. Maybe from WrestleMania on, we'll treat it seriously. Yeah, I don't have that same type of confidence. I just don't. And as far as Roman Reigns goes, I thought the end, he did bring people around after that dive and the whole nine yards, and I thought that was good. But what was hideously bad was the fact that everybody sat on their hands for another one of his matches, and that stinks.
Back in a moment after the break, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. In about 12 minutes, we're going to be joined on the show by Chris DeJoseph of Lucha Underground. Should be a very, very fun segment there. We're going to open up the phone lines here. I wasn't planning on doing it, but the phone lines were going crazy during the opening segment here. So we're going to hear what is on your mind today, 855-478-4478. If you would like to give us a call here, and for all of you asking on Twitter, the show I am referencing was last night's Brian and Vinny and Craig show, which is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to hear the uncensored version, that is the Brian and Vinny and Craig show, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to know whether or not you should sign up, just go to my Twitter. I have forwarded a lot of tweets. And you can find out unsolicited what people are saying about the website. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
What's up, Ed?
Well, you know, it's been a real negative week as far as wrestling stories. You know, the Kimberly stupidity, the Bill DeMont stuff going on. But I just want to tell everyone that they can find a very positive story if they go to WWE.com. And they can read about the unexpected virtue of blue pants. NXT's cult phenomenon breaks her silence. And some positivity to add to a very negative week in wrestling. But, Brian, I wanted to talk to you about, you were talking about the show from last night and the rant that you went on. And I'm fine with the majority of the rants that you had last night. But the one that drove me crazy was you were complaining that Jon Stewart, a comedian who is on a comedy show, was in a comedy act on wrestling, and you're upset that it wasn't serious. Why in the world would you think it would be serious when it's Jon Stewart, a comedian, on the show?
Well, Ed, maybe because when Jon Stewart appeared on Raw, he cut a very serious non-comedic promo, and it was great. Meaning, it is possible for Jon Stewart to be involved and not make the whole thing a joke.
Yeah, but it's Jon Stewart, so there's going to be some comedy to it, whether he cut a great promo or not.
Of course there can be some comedy in it, but it wasn't some comedy in it. It was a comedy segment. There is a big difference. Having a comedy segment is useless. Having a good segment with comedy can be very, very effective. On Raw, they had a comedy, they had a serious segment with some comedy. It was effective. On the show itself, it was all comedy, and thus it was ineffective and made Seth Rollins look like a geek. He's gone.
Will getting kicked in the crotch by Jon Stewart help him out with that
Well, like no, but at least he was distracted when he was kicked in the crotch. I had no problem with the Jon Stewart segment on Raw just because I thought Jon Stewart was so awesome in it. I thought he was great.
Yeah, there was zero to me wrong with that other than, well, yeah, actually, there is more to that. There's an ancillary effect to that. I don't know if I'm using the right word there, but Randy Orton. Randy Orton needed, in my opinion, to come back punting people. They seemed to not want to do that because Jon Stewart was going to be involved. Okay, fine, 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 fine. I don't understand why Randy Orton, unless something weird is going on with the main event, why in the world is Randy Orton doing this shtick with Seth Rollins and with the Authority and causing Reigns to lose? And then he winks into the camera, which I thought was, okay, that's going to be the sign that he's going to be turning on Seth Rollins, and it's kind of a wink at the viewer at home.
That's hilarious.
But that's just ridiculous, number one. And number two, again, I don't understand where this is going. He should be punting people right now. He should have probably put Rollins through the table. Unless there's something wrong with the main event, what are they doing to, why? Announce the match. WrestleMania is only 3 weeks away. That's it. That's it. Announce the stinking match and get on with it. We don't need a story leading right up until WrestleMania unless something else is going on. If it's not, announce the stinking match. Because much like I talked about on a show with Dave, has there ever been a match ever at any time in any sport, in boxing and mixed martial arts and professional wrestling, that was ever announced too early? Never. It's always the promotion. Now, sometimes the promotion doesn't pay off. Sometimes the lead up doesn't pay off and guys maybe talk too much or don't talk enough or whatever it is. But still, has there ever been a major event that's been announced that took place on a canvas mat that was announced too early? It makes no sense. TNA used to do shows, you know, on Thursday, hyping up their pay-per-view for Sunday. How many pay-per-view buys did they get out of that? How did it help matters whatsoever? It didn't. It only hurt them. Why are you not announcing this match? What's the reason? Do you have a theory on this? Because that part makes absolutely no sense. I was willing to go along with it because Jon Stewart was going to be involved, and I knew that was going to be awesome, and I knew they'd get a lot of mainstream attention for it. And he was fantastic, lived up to his end of the deal, plus some. In fact, plus a lot. He was great. But again, what does this mean for Orton and Rollins? Why do I want to see this?
I just love that Randy Orton winked into the camera because he's telling all of you fans at home, hey, I'm really a good guy. And meanwhile, he just screwed Roman Reigns, which you know what that's going to accomplish? People are just going to think Roman is an even bigger geek because their big-time babyface Randy Orton, he just screwed him and doesn't care about him at all.
What do we see multiple times a show?
Beautifully bad.
We see Triple H looking at the monitor upset about something. We see it all the time. We saw Randy Orton in his segment after Jon Stewart trying to talk to Seth Rollins, yet the Authority sent Kane and Big Show to step up behind Randy Orton, so they obviously don't trust him. I'm not sure how that makes any sense as far as Randy Orton's character winking to the camera goes because, well, wouldn't the Authority then be watching and knowing you're full of it then? How do you explain that one away? Oh, wait, that's right, you don't, because they don't do those things. It just gets lost in the abyss.
To the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike, this is Dan Hernandez. And firstly, Brian, I want to say, listening to Brian Vian last night, and I love how you, all three of you and Craig lost it when you were talking about the Booty Man. I thought it was kind of funny also.
Hey, the Booty Man and Lex Luger saved the day last night. I was in a great mood when the show ended. How can you not be in a great mood talking about the Booty Man and the greatness of Lex Luger on that episode of Nitro?
And his dancing pecs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his dancing pecs that he couldn't control is the best part.
Yeah, for sure. And because you have Krista Joseph on right after this, and one of the big things when he was going through the early media rounds was like the men on women violence. He compared it to like Street Fighter. Like these fighting games, like when you play these characters, you know, it's like a TV show. Like, you don't need to think about that sort of stuff. So hopefully you can ask him because this Wednesday is a big match, a big wreck versus a sexy star. And hopefully, like, how has, like, the mindset of him doing, like, almost like a fighting game or like, don't want people to think about it, just, like, two fighters going at it. Hopefully he can expand, like, how that has evolved since the starting of the show. So, thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I will keep that in mind. I got a million questions for Krista Joseph, who is going to be on the show in about 5 minutes, talking Lucha Underground and a lot more. By the way, I wanted to make quick mention of this. A lot of talk on the show yesterday about the Bill DeMont story, these emails that are coming out about Bill DeMont and the way that he trains people down there in WWE Developmental. Chris Jericho on Twitter wrote, "Hey, at Bill DeMont is a good friend and a great trainer. If you can't handle it, quit. My training here at the hashtag Hart Brothers camp was 10,000 times worse." And then EC3 went on Twitter and was upset and said, "I loved and sacrificed for pro wrestling. A heart can stretch me any day. A know-nothing profanity slapping me when I'm concussed is different." And a lot of people jumped on Jericho, and so he eventually deleted the tweet. And WWE, in response to this, sent a story to PW Insider, or a statement, and they said, quote, "We took the accusations made 2 years ago by Austin Mattelson very seriously, conducted a full investigation, and was unable to validate the claims. Regardless, WWE continues to reinforce policies and procedures to ensure a positive training environment." And since that time, some other people have come out and claim that, in fact, whatever this investigation was, they didn't talk to me, and I had complaints. I think, who was it that said that? One of the former
Ziggler's
wrestlers. Ziggler's brother, I think, was one of them that said something. But anyway, the point is that I think two letters have come out now, and the word that I was given yesterday was prepare for more. These are not the only ones coming out. Whatever is going on here, you're going to be hearing more about this in the next couple of days. So that is the latest on that story. Let's go to the phones very quickly. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Oh, nope, you're not on the phone. Let's try this guy here. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from Boston.
All right, we got about a minute here. What's up?
No, I'm just listening to what you're saying about Reigns, and it makes just disgustingly good sense. I mean, I love the Shield. We all love the Shield. But at the end of the day, I don't want a 70-year-old man telling me, a 23-year-old kid, who to like and what to like. Just let me and everyone else figure it out. Whether we want Dolph, Dean, Seth, Randy, John, Rusev, Roman, whoever it is, I don't care. Just let it happen. And everything that's happening with Reigns is a major reason why I don't watch WWE anymore. I stick with Lucha
Underground.
Well, suffer
and succotash.
Because I'm excited you got Chris coming on. I love Lucha Underground. I can just fall into full Mark mode and watch that. I've gone into New Japan. I don't even know what any of them are saying, but I freaking love it. I love everything about it. Ring of Honor, you know, the 13th anniversary was spectacular. And then WWE just keeps insulting me, my intelligence, insulting me as a person. Why should me, you, or any of us watch it anymore?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. The voice of the hardcore fan, I think, right there. We're going to be back in just a moment with Krista Joseph. Thanks, everyone, for calling today. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are very happy today to be joined by Chris DeJoseph of Lucha Underground. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm great, Mike. Brian, thanks for having me on the show.
I am very excited to have you on the show today. I've been wanting to have you on the show for a while. And if you've listened to any of the shows that we have done on the website long before you appeared on this show, you're probably aware that Vinny and I consider Lucha Underground and NXT to be having a Wednesday night war. Every week they battle to determine which show is going to be the best weekly television show. Lucha Underground is, I just love it. And I guess the first question is, how did you get involved with this promotion?
After I left WWE, I got involved in reality television in Los Angeles. I'm a TV producer above anything. And I was contacted probably last February. Not this past one, but the one before that. They're telling me that Mark Burnett was doing a wrestling show and they were looking for people. So I was like, you know, in reality TV and in television, it's a lot of freelance gigs, so you're always looking for your next job. I was finishing up a show, so I was like, yeah, I'll just send my resume, see what happens. You know, the best reality television producer in the world and a wrestling company. I don't know, I'm definitely interested. So I sent my resume in, and then a few months later, I heard back, and they brought me in to interview me about being a writer on the show. And then from that point, I got a call back, and they did not want to hire me as a writer, and instead said, no, we want to. I said, all right, fine, good, best of luck to you guys. And they said, no, we want to bring you on as a co-executive producer of the show. So that was exciting, and I decided to jump on board and give it a go after swearing to myself that I would never go back into the wrestling business again.
You know what is amazing about the show is, over the years, there have been a lot of promotions that have tried to start something opposite WWE, and they always quickly meet failure. And TNA has had a very rough go for the past 12 years, and people have always said the key is you've got to be different from WWE. And TNA tried so many things to be different from WWE. They tried to steal things from HBO, TV shows, and whatever. And then all of a sudden, Lucha Underground came along, and you guys somehow managed to do exactly what everybody has said. You've got a different style, the Lucha Libre. And the key to me is, it is a television show, and you can correct me, by the way, if I'm wrong. If I've just been ranting for months about this, and this is not how it is, you can correct me. But to me, sure, it seems like this is a show about wrestling. It is not like you're watching a sporting, they're never replays. It is like a telenovela, a Mexican soap opera about wrestling. And so as a result, whenever you guys go backstage for the segments where Conan and Dario Cueto are talking and you shoot it like it's a TV show or a movie or whatever, it works in a way that would never work on Impact. It would never work on Raw, but it works great on Lucha Underground. Tell everybody a little bit about your idea behind the whole concept of this show.
When I first came on board, I mean, I know there were a lot of ideas. And one of the first things, you know, when I met with the people from Burnett and from the LA Network was, we do not want to be the WWE. We do not want this to be Monday Night Raw. We do not want this to be Impact. We want to make this
Thank God.
Our own show. And above all, the main directive was, this is a television show. This is not a live event. We are making a television show. So that was kind of the first take on it. And then you know, just after debating and writing various drafts and everybody kind of getting together and giving their input on it, and then having, you know, Mark and Robert's input on the show and their thoughts. We came to an idea that this show should be, you know, a little different. I will tell you, planning for this show and the way we do it is not very different from how, you know, the things that I learned while I was at the WWE. But, you know, we just do it differently. Originally, we wanted to do multi-camera backstage scenes. And actually, after seeing there's a director who works on our show named Skip Chase, and he's one of the executive producers. He shot the first Prince Puma packages, you know, where he does like the Captain America punch and Conan's introducing him and telling his backstory. And we saw that, and it was just a consensus idea of, we should shoot everything like that. and then the entire show ended up kind of working out that way, and it's a television show first, live event second, but that's kind of how things started out and came to be in Lucha Underground.
Now, Chris, go ahead, Mike.
I say, aesthetically, like you were saying, the show is gorgeous with how it's filmed, at least in my opinion, with how it's filmed, with the lighting that's used in the whole nine yards, and you have been able to be different that way. Another way that I think you've been different is, you have taken a long time thing, which has been the authority figure on a wrestling show, and where that has been beaten to death and has been terrible in so many ways in so many different places, you've actually been able to put a nice spin on that. Was there any concern as being a guy who's been a wrestling fan his whole life and who's seen a lot of these authority angles, and they tend to get a little bit long in the tooth, and this one may as well, but it doesn't feel that way right now with Dario Cueto. Whose idea was that, and how did it go?
Well, between Eric Van Wagenen and I, we really wanted an authority figure. And kind of when we were deciding what the show is and why it is what it is, we figured there had to be somebody running this show. It just couldn't just be a show that just happens for no reason. So that's kind of how the Dario Cueto character was born. And we wrote some scripts, and we auditioned a bunch of people to come in to try for the role, and Luis Fernandez Gil, who plays Dario Cueto, came in, and we went for actors, and I made sure that I told all the actors that in the auditions that there will be a possibility of physicality at some point in this. And Luis is a black belt in judo, and he just got better with every callback, and I just kept seeing him more and more as his character, and the character's just kind of taken a life of its own. And I really give credit to the actor, but it's just a fun character to write for, as opposed to the authority in the WWE. It's that became a little stale. You don't know where Cueto kind of stands. He's almost insane in a way, and that's fun.
You mentioned taking some things that you had learned in WWE and brought them to Lucha Underground. And when I heard that, it's kind of like, I have been watching WWE for the last 6 months now, and it's just driving me absolutely crazy. The difference in Raw and Lucha Underground is stunning, in the sense that on a daily basis watching Raw, there's something that I will get infuriated at, or I just won't even get it, or I'll be baffled, or whatever. And that rarely happens in Lucha Underground. I don't know if it's because you guys tape long in advance, and so when you go week to week, there's a guy who changes his mind, and so things get all confusing and everything like that. But tell us some of the things that you did learn in WWE, and maybe you can help me understand why it appears to be working in Lucha Underground, but this same stuff is not working in WWE right now.
Well, I mean, in WWE, first and foremost, I think, if you want to survive there, you need to, especially on the creative team, I think, you need to learn how to book and how to plan out stories. And I think that's something that I definitely learned, from Michael Hayes or probably the most, because I spent the most time with him, obviously, but, those things you learn, and you plan out your stories and you come up with ideas. But the problem, I think, at the WWE, where Lucha Underground has given me, the LA Network and even Mark Bray have given me a little more freedom and a little more trust in our team's ideas and what we want to do with the show. And I mean, sure, we get notes like anybody does, they're a lot easier notes to deal with than somebody changing their mind at the last second. You have to get everything at the WWE through Vince, and Vince can change his mind a lot. I mean, there's other times that politics come severely into play, whether somebody, you show up at a WWE event and you show up at Raw the next week, and over the weekend at the house show or at the live event, something happened, and then, so then all of a sudden that person is basically on the shit list, and I don't even know if I can swear on this show, so apologize.
Yeah, let's try and avoid that.
Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
But you get what I mean, what I'm going at. Somebody gets a check against them, and I think that we don't really necessarily have that here at Lucha Underground, and that helps. And plus, I think we have the opportunity to be a little edgier with our stories in and out of the ring, and that's been kind of fun to make a little bit more of a show that adults may like as well.
Now, I got to ask this because many people, including myself, were in abject terror when Vince Russo showed up at Lucha Underground. And shortly thereafter, I mean, days later, he shut down his website. And the impression that I've got is this is merely coincidence. One has nothing to do with the other. But of course, there were a lot of rumors that, oh, my God, he's going to Lucha Underground. Dear Lord. First off, it's Vince Russo. Second off, this man, if you recall in WCW, there was a racial discrimination lawsuit based on some things that he had said. What is the status of Vince Russo?
There is no status of Vince Russo. At least when it comes to Lucha Underground, there is no status of Vince Russo is not being considered to be on the show at this time or work on this show at this time. So I've said it a million times on my Twitter. I don't have enough followers to squash a rumor, but it's not happening. And you know, that's the way it is. I've been told and reassured by my bosses that they're happy with the creative team that we have in place, and they're happy with what we've been doing, and if they ain't broke, don't fix it.
Let's talk a little bit about this show, how viewers can see it. If there happens to be anybody out there that has never watched Lucha Underground, it is available on most cable systems. It is on El Rey. It is on Unimas. There is a Hispanic version, a version in Espanol, and a version in English as well. Tell everybody, let's start plugging Lucha Underground.
Yeah, you can watch Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network on Wednesday night. I think it even replays, and you'll even get to see a few extra episodes beforehand, a few repeats that will lead you into those episodes. And then on Unimas on Saturday, you can watch Lucha Underground as well. I think that there's plans to continue to get on more through more cable providers and maybe expand it in other ways as well. But at this point, you know, we're on a brand new network and we're working to establish that network, the El Rey Network, and establish this show as one of its flagships.
Is the fat oily guy, we got about 30 seconds here, will he ever appear on Lucha Underground just out of curiosity?
Well, I don't know the fat oily guy personally. I only know Big Dick Johnson.
I see.
The fat oily guy was the TNA parody of me.
That's right. I screwed my fat oily guys up. I apologize.
You did. It's kind of tough to tell the two apart, so I totally forgive you. But no, he is never going to make an appearance on Lucha Underground. I say Vince owns the character, and he can keep the character.
All right. Thanks so much. Back in a moment, everybody. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Another show that has just flown by here today. I want to thank Chris DeJoseph, executive producer of Lucha Underground, for his appearance on the show today. We're going to be getting him on for a long, in-depth interview, I hope, in the next week or so for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. You can also check it out if you want to hear last night's Brian and Vinny show that we've been talking about all day here on the program. It is Wednesday, so Lucha Underground and NXT are on tonight. So make sure you check those two shows out. The Wednesday Night Wars, the two best wrestling shows of the week, at least first run. New Japan on Access, very good as well, but those are tapes from long, long ago, but I do recommend you check that one out. And don't forget that Mike and I are here every single day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And if you missed any part of this show, it is not only available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, but we've got a replay coming up today on Sports Byline USA at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. We'll also be here every Sunday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. So 6 days a week, 18 hours of audio on Sports Byline USA if you count all of the replays. So make sure you check all of those out. We're going to be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Jim Ross is going to be on the program tomorrow. And as always, I want to thank Mike, all of the folks at Sports Byline USA, all of you who called and listened today. Thanks so much for a great show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.